Yo!
Welcome, welcome.
Buddy!
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Have you learned how to skate yet?
Have I learned how to skate yet?
Yes.
I'm still working on learning how to skate, yeah.
Got those crossovers down yet?
I was going to say.
Yeah. I've got the backwards crossovers actually really well, actually.
Can I admit something to you guys? I actually, two things.
I don't know. So
it can be scary, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing is I do not like crossing over to the right. To this day, I don't do it.
Okay.
I can do it. I feel like Bambi when I'm doing it, though, so I don't do it.
And the second thing?
The second thing is I just made a big batch of my homemade chili, so you guys are lucky that this podcast is not in Smell-O-Vision.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah, I agree.
Can you send me some of that, though?
But I bet it's going to be good, though.
Oh, top-notch. Top-notch.
Yeah, I bet. So, Chris, I know you've been playing nothing but Red Dead Redemption the last couple days.
Does hockey exist? I don't know.
Yeah. And you haven't caught either of the Jets games, is that right?
Yeah, so I watched both of the compressed games. Unfortunately, it's been crazy for me at work the last couple of weeks. It's our busy season, so right in the middle of the day, I just can't stop to watch hockey. So, unfortunately, I missed both the games, but I have seen, you know, the nuts and bolts of what happened, including some really extremely sick dangles from Mr. Patrick Laine.
Yeah, I saw them. The one that you sent us, the one of his toe drag around the defender.
Dude, that's next level. There was not like it wasn't just a toe drag. It was like full speed along the boards with a curl and a shot. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that's only I think a handful of people can do that in the NHL.
Yeah.
And a beautiful part about that T-drag as well, is while he was T-dragging it, he was moving his hand down the stick rather than up it. So he had a great, a lot more power on that shot too.
That's how he gets his leverage. I saw another post, I think it was on Instagram, of him flexing on a wrist shot. And his stick almost made a C. It was so bent.
Yeah.
I wonder what flex he uses.
Yeah.
A big guy like that, I would say he's probably at least using, you know, a 95 or 100, which is pretty impressive because I can't bend to 75. So
though I've heard Ovi though uses like low, like he uses like 85, 90 flex.
Yeah. Ovi's a chump. We're talking about Patrick Laine.
Hey, we're not in the hot take segment yet.
Yeah.
I have had three ciders, so it's going to get interesting around here.
Dear. All right. Good to know. So we're going to jump into it then. Welcome to episode 4 of South of the Blue Line. We got Chris, as you've heard. We got Dalton.
Hey.
And so I guess we'll start off with Chris. We were already kind of talking about the Jets. They are in Helsinki, Finland, I believe.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Dalton, you look really nice and clean right now.
Oh, thank you. You know, when I posted that pic on the Insta chat, I was a little concerned that you guys are...
Oh, no.
Squeaky clean. Yeah, so I think they're probably heading home by now, or they're probably actually home by now. But yes, indeed. I think they had the home at home, I guess, in Helsinki with the Florida Panthers. Quite the event. Out of curiosity, I tried to buy tickets and I couldn't. Of course, they sold out in like a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm.
That game, those games, I believe, really revitalized not only Patrick Laine, but also Nick Ehlers, who obviously is a Dane. So getting back over to Europe is probably a pretty big deal for him.
Yeah.
You know, I could probably ramble about this subject quite a bit, but the Patrick Laine that we saw over the last two games, that is the Patrick Laine that was advertised, and that is the Patrick Laine that we saw in season one before his concussion. The Patrick Laine that we've had up until this point this year has been just, he just seems disinterested. And now I know it's not that he's disinterested. There's something going on with him. I don't know if he was homesick or what it was, but he seemed slow. He seemed apprehensive. He didn't want to carry the puck. You know, and of course, you know, this happened a lot last year too, but when you score 44 goals, people don't really dig too deep into what's wrong with a player, right? But at the same time, you know, I think anybody who's watched Patrick Laine knows that this guy is like a top five talent in the league, and he certainly hasn't played that way this year to this point.
So it sounds like you're pretty overall happy with the trip then.
Well, you know,
like, are you glad they did it? Because I know, like, when the Oilers in the preseason and the first game of the season went overseas, once they came back, everyone was like, oh, why'd they go overseas? Like, now they're going to be tired.
No, I fucking hate it.
All right.
I hate the fact that you have to wait for like half a week before the games to watch them. And now the Jets don't play for an entire week. Now, the good point is the Jets have a lot to work on. So there's going to be lots of practice, and they need that. But you know, as a fan, I don't want to wait a whole week to watch my team play, especially when the last game was a loss.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So starting at that first game, you guys won the first game. Ehler scored in that game, didn't he, as well?
He surely did.
All right. So Patrick Laine was reborn.
Yeah. Hold on. Don't just gloss over Nick Ehlers, because the way he took that pass to score that goal was pretty special.
Yeah.
He was hauling ass. He was backwards. He got the pass, and then he moved in and scored. I thought that really showed kind of what makes Nick Ehlers a great player as well, and something that's been missing from his game this year. It's weird because both Ehlers and Laine have kind of suffered from the same thing this year so far. So I'm wondering, they're such close friends, if there's something that's happening that's impacting them both.
Yeah, maybe it seems like both Laine and Ehlers, because they were playing together and they both were kind of going through that slump together. They kind of, now that they're both kind of starting to get on it, they're kind of feeding off each other's like own confidence. Like they're kind of.
Yeah, I honestly don't believe that they should be playing together. I think if Laine played the way he played in his first season, I think they are a good fit, because they both move really fast. They both carry the puck. They make their hay off the rush. So I believe that plays into their hands. But the way that Laine has played in the last season and a half, he has not been working off the rush very well. He's always behind the play. So you see Ehlers will carry the puck. He'll get it across the line, and neither Laine or Little will be anywhere close to being able to support him, because he's so fast and so crafty. So he needs to play with maybe a guy like Roslovic and, you know, somebody else who's fast. I know this is good. People are going to think I'm crazy, but even a guy like maybe Tanev, who doesn't have the greatest like finish, but the guy is speedy and he's really great along the wall. So maybe he can help Ehlers once he gets the puck into the zone.
Tanev can move, that's for sure.
Is Tanev kind of like an energy guy for you then? Or?
Yeah, he's a fourth line guy. He's a really great first guy in on the puck. He will, you know, make the defender pay and rush his passes. He's not a big guy, but he finishes every check. So, you know, he's a perfect guy to complement someone who's got a lot of speed and a lot of skill like Ehlers, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But then who do you have centering that with? How would you put with Laine?
I think you got to split, you know, I think you got to split Wheeler and Scheifele up, because I don't think that's working anymore, 5-on-5. They hide a lot of their flaws because they score a lot on the power play. But 5-on-5, that line is a defensive liability, and they really have not played very well together. So I would put Scheifele with Laine. I would put Little back with Wheeler, because they've always had chemistry together. And then, you know, you figure out what wingers go with who, depending on, you know, what the situation is. I'm a firm believer, and I don't know if you guys agree with this, that you should be dealing with pairs, and the third should pretty much be interchangeable.
Yeah, and I think you kind of you see that with like what they're trying to do with McDavid and Nuge. You're trying to have like just McDavid and Nuge, and then just someone else who can fit in that slot.
Right, because you get like Ratty, and he does well, and then they had Yamamoto there as well, right?
Exactly. And then like, and then eventually you hope that your centers are so good that you can basically do what the Penguins do and just focus on Crosby and just need people to fill in gaps on next to him.
Well, that seems to be the way that the Oilers are trying to trend, at least.
Yeah.
Like, you could put a stick figure besides Crosby and he'll score 20 goals.
Yeah, no true. Kidding. So you were talking about the power play a little bit. I actually wanted to because Laine scored, I'm pretty sure he scored 4 goals in total between the 2 games. And he did. He had the hat trick in the first one, and then the Jets lose 4-2 in the second one. But 3 of Laine's 4 goals were on the power play. And so and then his one other goal was an empty netter. So I don't know. I also worry though that like he's still not like he looked better 5-on-5. Like we watched like it, even with the toe drag he had in the video, like him getting around and like creating things off the rush. But he's still not putting the puck in unless it's on the power play.
Yep, 100%. And I think that you know, here's the thing: it's such 2 games is such a small sample size, and 2 games is how long he's really been moving his feet and creating stuff off the rush again. So you can't say that 5-on-5, he's still not in effect or not effective. You know what I mean? Because if he continues to move his feet and create chances off the rush 5-on-5 for the next game or the next 10 games, you know, he's going to start scoring, right? Or his teammates are going to start scoring. So I think we just need to see how he starts to play when he gets back, you know, to North America playing again.
Yeah. So, I agree.
Yeah, makes sense.
What do you think was the difference between the first game and the second game? Like, what was the difference there? I mean, the Panthers scored, I'm pretty sure, the best Lemieux.
Well, Trocheck, though. Oh.
Look, people are going apeshit in Winnipeg, all the Jets fans, about, you know, get rid of him, send him down to the minors, he's a plug. But I'm going to say Brendan Lemieux has skill. If you watched him play, you know, he's a bottom six forward, but he has skill. He can cycle the puck. He can do some things with the puck. And this season so far, he's actually been really good about staying out of the penalty box. Of course, that hit on Trocheck, I've seen only one angle, and it's one of those angles where it comes into the screen like last second and it's high view. So it's really hard to see what happened because Lemieux throws his hands up after it happened like, you know, this is bullshit. So I think if he did it on purpose, I don't think he would do that, honestly. So the jury's out. So what do you guys think about that hit?
I actually have not seen the hit yet.
Yeah. I've also only seen the one angle of it.
So
it's an awful angle, right? Right, Dalton?
It's not a great angle, but it looks bad. Like, I don't know if it's going to be quite suspendable or not, but it's... What did he end up getting for it in the game? Did he get ejected for it? Or
he got a match penalty. And you know what? Like, I'm a firm believer that you should never target the head, and any contact with the head should be punished. But I just look at Brendan Lemieux's reaction to the play. If you look it up, Mike, you'll see it.
Yeah, I got it right here. I'm about to watch it.
And that to me says a lot, because I think a player like him, if he intentionally did that, that wouldn't be his reaction. I really honestly don't believe that.
In the same token, it doesn't really matter if he meant to do it or if it just kind of happened, right? 100%.
Well, kind of. Actually, you know what? It does, Dalton. I'll disagree with you there, because I think that intent has a lot to do with it, right? You'd never want to target somebody in the head. But if you're just turning and you're like you're trying to get a piece of somebody and you get their head, I think that's different than like headhunting somebody, right? Headhunting basically means you're trying to hurt somebody. And that, for me, carries a much stiffer penalty.
Well, it's different for the guy who's doing it, not so much different for the guy who took the hit.
Well, yeah, end result. I mean, the product is different, is the same, yeah. Right?
But yeah, and there probably should be a different, I would agree with you, it should be a different kind of suspension, rather. But it's also very hard to determine if he meant to do it, he didn't mean to do it. He
totally
just saw him last second, put his hands up, what happened?
Oh, I'm watching it now. He he doesn't like rock him. He just like
clips him.
Clips yeah. him.
But yeah, it looks like he just gets him right in the head. It's
I want to see other. I want to see other angles because I want to see what actually happened. Because you guys are hockey players, right? You know, like let's say you're turning and you're trying to pull your puck or you pull your stick in towards your feet, right? What happens to your elbow?
As you pivot?
Yeah. So like, let's say you're trying to pull your stick towards your feet. What naturally happens to your top hand?
It pulls towards your body.
Right. And your elbow naturally goes up because that's the only place you can go. Right. So I'm not trying to exonerate Brendan Lemieux or saying there wasn't intent or that he didn't do something dirty. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is you don't really know what happened in that play that happened in a few microseconds unless you can see different angles and understand what's happening. Right. And I'm only seeing one angle there. So I don't want to really comment too much on it until I can potentially see different angles.
Yeah, so I'm looking at a few different angles here.
Where?
It's on the, if you look at the Sportsnet video, if you look at just the Sportsnet video, it shows the whole highlight from the top angle that like the feed is originally shot in. And then there's an angle from behind the net. So it's more of what from Trocheck's side and watching Lemieux come in from the bench.
How's it looking?
he comes in. I don't know. Ah, jeez. Like, he lowers his shoulder a bit, though.
So it makes his shoulder makes contact with his head.
Yeah, it looks like he sees it coming, and he almost goes to duck, but then he goes into him. Yeah, Trocheck is curling out from the blue line, and he leans into his shoulder, like Lemieux leans forward, like bracing for it. Like he knows it's happening.
I'm just looking it up right now, so you guys talk.
All right. Speaking of
By the way, before you guys do, though, I got to make a comment. I'm going to get drunk every game or every podcast because I think I'm being awesome today.
Yeah, man, you're going with it. I mean, you know how you know what it is? Saturdays for the boys.
And he just got kicked.
Yeah, wonderful. He got too excited. He brings the excitement level up, and we gotta get him out of there.
Yeah, no kidding. Like all I did today was math so far, so my brain's like all broken and stuff. And then I should have been drinking before this. What am I doing?
But, no, I just got off work.
Oh,
yeah.
No chance for you to drink there, sadly.
No. So while he's out of here waiting for him to get back, Dalton, we'll look at the first. The Oilers started the week with a 4-3. I would say pretty disappointing loss to the Wild.
Yeah. Sadly, I didn't manage to catch any of that game.
You didn't see any of it?
So no, I was playing my own hockey again.
Oh, all right. That's a valid excuse. I was watching it myself. We were all over them to begin with, and I don't know why, but the Oilers have such a hard time playing against backups.
The backup curse.
Yeah, the backup curse. We peppered Stalock, couldn't get in. I mean, like we scored a couple of nice goals. McDavid had the absolute highlight reel goal against Suter, making him look standing still. Like watching the video in slow motion is so funny because you can pinpoint the exact moment Suter's mind just starts going, "Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit!
Oh fuck! He's by me!"
Yeah, I feel like McDavid has one of those slow mo moments, and as he passes him, they like lock eyes, and then McDavid just flies by him.
A little bit of a wave, and
yeah, but I mean. The Wild are an old, like, experienced team. They know that, like, as soon as they scored that 4-3 goal, they didn't even score, like, with, like, not a lot of time left. There was, like, I think there was, like, just under 10 minutes left in the game. So, like, there was still a pretty decent amount of time to tie it up, and, like, the Oilers had been dominating a lot. And then they locked down, and, like, the Oilers couldn't get across the blue line. It was such a boring game after that point.
Yeah. Well, I also saw that there was, I think, 3 power play goals by the Wild.
Yes, and the Oilers went 0-for-5 on the power play, and the Wild went for 3-for-3 on theirs.
I mean, yeah, you're never going to win if your special teams are doing that for you. It's just, you're screwed, no matter what.
And I'm not going to blame all the goals on Talbot. I think the game-winning goal, the 4-3 goal, Granlund absolutely sniped him, and the defense should have stepped up on him. A couple other ones were tips in front. The D-man kind of just lost his man, and they were able to bang in a few rebounds. And, I mean, on the power play, so they're going to have a little bit more time than normal. It was not the best, but, like, I would have liked to have got a point out of it.
I see. I got you.
So I got to say, guys, you know, the way I feel about our two fan bases right now are completely different. Our Jets fan base is like, the world is on fire. Everything's ending. Like, forget about this. And you guys are like so pumped because you're doing pretty good.
I mean, I would say the feeling is almost completely opposite of what it was, like a completely role reversal of what it was from last season, the beginning of last 100%. Season.
Like, last I feel season, like, I didn't even want to watch the Oilers play. But, like, this season, I have to pretty much watch every single game, every single minute.
Yeah,
I still
didn't
watch it all last year, but I just really like doing it.
We're Oilers fans.
Yeah. Even the games that you guys are losing, you guys are competitive in, right? Like, it doesn't feel like you're – it feels like you have a real shot at, like, making the – not only making the playoffs, but actually being a player in the playoffs, which is pretty exciting for you guys.
Yeah, it's exciting to watch. Like, you can tell that, like, they're never out of a game. Like there really hasn't been – with the exception of, like, the first couple of games of the season. But recently, like, the last couple of weeks, it's never felt like they're out of a game. Like, even the games that, like, okay, we have – in the last 2 weeks, we have one regulation loss and one overtime loss. The regulation loss was a one-goal game where the special teams didn't play very well against the Wild, which we would have liked points for, but it didn't happen. But it was only – we only lost by one. And then we lost 6-5 in overtime – to Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. So, right. and then
I feel bad about that.
Right. You can't feel bad about that. And then we play fantastic against, like, the Caps and the Predators. And you're like, all right, maybe we can hang.
Yeah. Another great thing I'm seeing with this team now, especially recently, is that it's not all McDavid doing it.
Oh, yes. The second so line, nice. Depth scoring.
Holy, I know. And the power play is actually working this year, unlike last year, which is also a huge boon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even
yeah,
if
yeah.
There's so, five lefties on the first unit.
So I just want to go back to the Lemieux hit really quickly. We won't spend any time on it, but I don't like it. I think it's dirty.
So you
think can suspension? See he lunges last second. Yeah, yeah. I would.
How much?
Lunges.
What do you think?
So, you know, it's obviously his first infraction in the NHL, and Trocheck wasn't hurt, so I would give him a 2-game suspension personally.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that seems about fair. Probably one or two games.
Yeah, one or two. I think that's yeah. I think you're right.
If you target the head, I don't think there's any place in hockey for that. To be honest,
you got to get that out.
Yeah, totally.
But that being said, he doesn't really have a rep of being that dirty of a player or anything.
Well,
he's
still a rookie, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, no, he does have a reputation in junior for being a dirty player. So,
He does.
He plays like his dad,
Claude, not Mario.
Yeah,
right. His dad is not Mario Lemieux.
The slightly worse Lemieux,
just by a little bit.
Just by a little, exactly.
He's got all that grit, though.
So then we were going over the Oilers games, Chris. We talked about the Oilers losing to the Wild. Actually, in between games, there was a big uproar again. Jesse Puljujarvi. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, but they scratched him four in a row. I don't think he's playing tonight against the Wings.
He is not, I believe.
I send him down. I want to send him down. Oh, yeah. Send him down. But, like, what is going on there?
I think
it's mismanagement.
Yeah. I think the Oilers need to move on from Jesse Puljujärvi as fast as they can.
Like, trade him.
Absolutely. As soon as they can. Just because I don't see a reality in this season, unless he just starts turning it on like crazy, where he has a spot on the roster this year. So either
but isn't he like 19?
He's 20.
He's 20. He just he just turned 20.
Yeah,
dude, you don't give up. You don't give up on a player like that. No,
I don't know, man. I'm pretty close to giving up on him already. It's not that I want to give up on him. I think the Oilers are going to give up on him. I think T-Mac is giving up on him, so he's not going to see any ice time. I don't think they want to send him down to the minors. I think they probably should, but I don't think they will. So just that being all combined, this kid's not developing at all. He's not getting any reps. And whenever he does play, he makes one mistake and gets benched for an entire period. It's just, I don't think he can succeed with the Oilers right now.
I got to disagree with you, Dalton. I think I'm with Chris. We can't, you don't give up on Puljujarvi, especially, I know it was preseason, but the flash he showed in the preseason was incredible. We know he can do it. We just, I think it's in it. Like you, if you look at Puljujarvi, like the dude, you know what he's thinking. He's such like a, like, just like a pure innocent, like he just wants to go out there and play hockey, and he think, and he's really good at it. And he always has been really good at it. So like, with all this, I feel like all this politicking that's kind of going around with it, and then like, he's just not confident. Like, we just need to, like, we just got to get him, like, to remembering he's good at hockey, and that you just got to get him out there and let him go do it.
All right. That being said, I'll be back in like 2 seconds.
All right. All right.
For Dalton.
Yeah, he disagreed. Wow. I think I scared him off.
Yeah, he's just leaving now. No, yeah, you know what? So I agree with you, though. Like, I feel like the broken development cycle of the Edmonton Oilers has got to stop somewhere. You can't keep drafting highly skilled players, forcing them into positions where they fail, and then just casting them off. You're never going to be a successful team that way. Yeah. You need to give them a chance, like, to grow, right? Like, if you look at the Jets and the players that they have developed into really prominent roles on the team, those players spent time in the minors after failing at the NHL level. Mark Scheifele is a perfect example of that. He came up, he struggled, they sent him down. He spent a year with Manitoba, and he really found his game down there. Kyle Connor, same thing, although it was a lot quicker of a turnaround. Nick Ehlers, same thing. Jesse Puljujarvi is a supreme talent. Yeah. I don't think you give up on guys like that.
Well, you know, even, I think you don't have to send them down for the whole time. Like you said, like with Kyle Connor, like it wasn't like, right. Scheifele went down for like a full year. Right. And yeah, kind of rebuilt it from the beginning. He did a whole season, yeah, there, but Connor, yeah, did like, I think it was like a half a season or like three quarters of a season before he came up.
It was less than that. But the only reason Kyle Connor came back up after he was sent down is because of injury. So, you know, if there was not injury to Matthew Perreault so early in the season, Kyle Connor would have spent the entire season probably in the minors. Yeah. That was what the Jets decided he needed to grow as a player. Connor went down. I think he dealt with the feelings of being sent down, and he decided he was just going to like take his next opportunity, and he did exactly that. So, you know, sending Jesse Puljujärvi down is the right move in my books.
I would agree with you. I think they should send him down because right now he's getting zero ice time. But if they're not going to send him down and they're not going to play him, I don't see any point in keeping on a kid that's losing value every single day.
But I think he's going to regain his value. We don't want to get rid of him and watch like a player just explode.
You don't want to sell
away from the Oilers. Well, that being said, though, we are we're teetering on the edge of. And I actually saw a meme on Twitter of it, and it was Puljujarvi looking in the mirror, and Nail Yakupov was staring back at him from the mirror.
That's kind of what I was going to get at, yeah.
And exactly. I was like, and I laughed at it, and like, but we're teetering very close to having that happen.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of shades of Nail Yakupov there for sure. It's just, it doesn't feel like he's thinking the game right, or he's not thinking it well enough. And maybe half a season down the AHL will fix him right up. Maybe if you throw him in McDavid's line for 10 games, he'll learn it. I don't know. But I'm really seeing a player that the Oilers are seeing that's just losing value every single year, that they're eventually just going to give up for nothing.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like we're a little split. But on the topic of sending people down, before we get to the next Oilers game, the Oilers, I believe it was yesterday, sent Evan Bouchard down after one goal in 7 games in the NHL back to his junior team. Dalton, what do you think?
It's the right move. Absolutely. You got Bear waiting in the minors for whenever the Oilers decide that Garrison's not a real defenseman.
Well, they recalled, like, when they sent him back, they recalled Gravel.
Yeah, I'm fine with Gravel as well.
No, he's looked good. He hasn't looked bad. He hasn't been noticeable, and that's what you'd like.
Yeah, yeah. he's like, he can actually move the puck out there. He's got actual wheels. I hate watching Garrison play so much. Oh, even if he did get that huge goal.
It was a huge goal. Garrison Benning pairing. Oh my God. I just don't know why they're on the ice. Yeah.
Like, Benning has looked better, to his credit, in these last few games.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anyone's going to look good if you stick him next to Garrison.
Yeah. But real quick, back to Bouchard. We've seen 7 games of Bouchard. What would you grade him? What do you think? Like, how do you think he did?
I'd say, like, a solid B.
Like a B? Yeah, I'd give him a B. I want to give him something higher, but I thought he might have put. I was hoping he like blew it up offensively. Like even if he like maybe like 1 goal and like 4 assists or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But like you know what, he wasn't playing very much, and he was on the second power play, which gets like maybe 20 seconds of ice time.
he did well with the minutes he got.
Yeah.
He didn't exactly, like, blow the doors off, and I think that's what he would needed to do.
Yeah,
to
I agree. The team. Which is good. I'm glad it's like that.
Yeah, but to be fair, he looked like an NHLer out there already. Like, if he stayed on the third pairing the entire year, I think he would have held his own. He would have been fine.
So, first off, are you excited to see him back next year? And do you think he makes the team next year?
I think it's almost a certainty that he makes the team next year. And I am ecstatic to see him on the team.
All right. So then, real quick, we're going to dip into the predictions. How many points do you think Bouchard, who you think is already a semi-capable NHLer, is going to get in playing for the London Knights?
Oh, man.
He got, I think it was 87 last season, which was most by a defender. He broke a record.
I don't even know, dude. He's just going to... Because they sent down Boquist, too, from Chicago.
The Senators sent down Formenton.
Yeah. So, oh, my gosh. Dude, I could see him putting up over 100 points.
And then do you think he excels at the World Junior Tournament?
Oh, absolutely, dude. Like, he looks like an NHLer already. It's going to be men among boys when he's playing out there.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. So, jumping to the next Oilers game. Oilers with a huge bounce back 4-0 victory over the Chicago Blackhawks.
Koskinen.
On the back of Mikko the Answer Koskinen.
So many answers on this team.
There are so many answers. So, Dalton, did you watch that game?
I did, every minute of it, and I loved it.
How did you feel about that game?
All right, so... The start was a little bit slower than I was hoping for. Like, the first period wasn't all that great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think overall, actually, the Oilers did get outplayed for a lot of that game. But they just couldn't. You can't get anything past Koskinen. There's no chance.
No, he's a brick wall. Koskinen is. Yeah. So do you think the 2.5 salary and the no-move clause is 2 games into Mikko Koskinen's start as an Oiler worth it?
Maybe a little early to call, but I mean, absolutely, 100%, best goal.
I mean, he's 2-0, and he beat the Blackhawks 4-0 in 40 save shutout, and he beat the Predators, which we almost never win against. Yeah. So
I'll tell you what, I picked him up for my fantasy team tonight.
Did you now?
Which should speak for itself.
Oh, he's got confidence in it,
and that's not just because I'm getting killed on every single goaltending stat.
So, do you think then, he's obviously starting tonight against the Wings, but do you think he's pushing for more ice time now after his two games?
Yeah, well, I mean, the next games after this are a back-to-back versus, I think, Washington and someone
like Yeah, Washington. And then Tampa. And Tampa, actually, real quick while we're on that, I will be driving down on Tuesday to go watch the Lightning play the Oilers in Tampa.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, so, thanks for the invite, buddy.
Hey, listen, they weren't my tickets. Me and my dad are going. So if
that's
any
all right.
Of our
I'll just
loyal
watch
listeners,
on TV.
If any of our loyal listeners want to, have a meet and greet, I'll go. I'll sign autographs, kiss babies while I'm at the Lightning game. Come on out. If you're interested, I will tweet out where I'm sitting.
Yeah. Photos, though, are $10 a shot.
Photos are $10. Yes, I should say that. Photos are $10 a shot. This podcast doesn't run on nothing.
It's pretty close, though.
Yeah, yeah. So, how are you feeling about tonight's game then, Dalton?
I am cautiously optimistic because even with Kajula's very good game last game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I still don't like him on the first line.
I agree. Well, it was funny because Oilers Twitter had another meltdown and was like, Kajula on the third line? No. And so, and then Kajula went and had a two-goal game and an absolute two actually pretty, like, dirty goals. He hits the puck out of the air and then chips it between the five hole. And then the last one, it was a beautiful play by
Jujar.
We like to call him the heat-seeking missile. and with a beauty pass to Kajula, and Kajula with the nice hands.
Beautiful. I don't know why Ratty's not playing yet. He got taken off the IR, I think, yesterday.
I think they wanted to, like, wait one more game and just kind of acclimate him to it.
Maybe. And, I mean, to Kajula's credit, he did play quite well. So, I mean, I guess he's earned another shot on the first line, even though I hate it so much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have Koskinen, though, starting, so...
Yeah, guaranteed win.
Guaranteed win. So you got a score prediction?
It's going... Oh, are we going hot take time, or...?
No, not hot take. Just a little, maybe a look ahead score prediction.
All right, I'm going to call a solid 3-1 game with Zach Cassian recording a shorthanded goal and Nuge with two.
Wow, I like that. That's a good one. I'm gonna have to go a little higher because the Wings are bottom of the league. I'm saying 5-2 win, and we see more goals from defensemen than forwards.
It is hot take time. I knew it.
No, that's not that much of a hot take. You never know. Klefbom could remember he's supposed to be good at shooting the puck.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. One day, hopefully.
One day. He'll get to be a good defenseman.
Yeah, take some tips from Garrison.
Mm-hmm. All right, boys. Well, Cup, not a lot of league headlines. Ooh, can't talk. League headlines from around the week. One that, I mean, is related to hockey, but not that related. And I actually don't know anything about it because I am a mere child. The NHL league, I don't know if it's legalized is the right word, but they partner up with MGM Resorts to now do sports betting.
I am also a child.
So, Chris, you got to help us out here.
What would you like to know?
Well, so why is it a big deal?
Well, I think because the NHL has always been really resistant to sports betting. And I also think that it's kind of curious that the Las Vegas Knights, who sucked this year, by the way, in case you needed to know, all of a sudden they come into the league and we've got sports betting now. I think something there is pretty, well, at least a little fishy. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Conspiracy theories.
Well, I think the NHL is, you know, I love the sport of hockey. You know, I play it. I watch it. I watch all levels. I love the Jets. I, you know, kind of like the Oilers.
oh, he's too kind.
But the NHL, I hate the way the league has been run for the last 10, 20 years. I hate Gary Bettman. I think that the league could be way bigger. I think there's a reason why MLS is – you know, now probably neck and neck with the NHL in kind of popularity.
Is it that big in the
States? No way.
No, yeah, it's getting there. In the States, absolutely. Expansion is huge. People love the sport down here.
Well,
absolutely.
Listen, I'll say MLS, I mean, MLS is expanding quite a lot, but I still think they have a ways to go till they catch up to hockey.
Like in Canada, hockey is number one by far. It's just not
100%, and it always will be. Always will be. But I just feel like some of the stuff that they do in the NHL is so Mickey Mouse. Like the fact that Quebec City still doesn't have a team and Phoenix has one is ridiculous to me. After all they've been through, after all the years, after all the bailouts, it's to me, it's really insulting to the sport. You know, the way that they've...
That's, anytime he gets on a rant.
We should start having podcast bingo. And every time Chris gets kicked off the... or we can turn it into a drinking game.
And that's where I was going
for the for the listeners. Every time Chris gets kicked out, you got to take a shot.
Mm-hmm. Anytime we say McDavid, you just die because you can't assign a drink to that. That you just die. Sorry.
It just face melts off and
McDavid.
Exactly.
10 shots.
Then that's the video that the dude falling out of the trailer. So every time Chris gets kicked off the podcast, and then when he shows back up, you got to take another one. So it's two.
Two shots right there. So we're up to four shots this podcast for those keeping track at home.
I swear to God, Anchor knows when I'm going to go on a rant, and it just cuts me right off.
Yeah, yeah. We were like turning it into a drinking game for the listeners.
I love it. Great. I just, you know, long TLDR, Bettman sucks. They've really mishandled the product. Hockey is the best sport in the world, and it should be. It should have much higher cachet on the world scene, especially with the NHL, because the NHL has the very best players. It should be far more popular than it is today, and I blame Bettman.
No biases here, boys.
I think it also really hurt not going to the Olympics, last Olympics.
Stupid.
Oh, man, stupid. I forgot how mad I was about that.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It was a good Olympics, but I think I watched maybe one game, maybe a couple highlights.
Yeah.
If the NHL was in that, I would have been glued to the TV every game. Like, you're telling me, who doesn't want to watch McDavid and Crosby, not to name all the other amazing players that would be on Team Canada, Team Russia, Team USA, just go wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, really disappointing.
Yeah, like a McDavid-Crosby-Shifley pairing?
Oh my goodness.
Try to stop that.
And then your third, and then like your third line at that point, like it's so dumb because your third line, you'd be like, I guess I'll put Bergeron on it.
Yeah, you know, Bergeron, Marchand. I don't know. Let's put Sagan on there too. Why not?
Sagan, who gets healthy? Maybe.
Hall, sure.
Who gets healthy? So I said, who gets healthy in that case? Like, who do you scratch on that team?
Duchesne.
I don't think Duchesne even makes it.
Really? I think Duchesne makes it.
I've always believed that that Canada should be allowed to field more than one team, and I also believe that Canada could medal twice if they did.
Gold and silver, boys.
Yeah. The gold medal game is Canada versus Canada white.
Well, let's give the rest of the world a little credit. I would say gold and bronze.
Gold. Okay. Who do you think makes it the gold medal game then?
Shit, you know what? I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm gonna say the United States.
I would go with Sweden, probably.
I was gonna say Sweden as well.
I wouldn't be surprised if Sweden did, but I gotta tell you, I feel like USA hockey has really improved over the last 10 years, especially. You can see it coming up through all the levels, like the under-18s, the 18s. And if you look at the amount of Americans on the Jets, it's pretty surprising.
I think
there's a lot of good players there for sure.
I think that the USA team they put together now would be a lot better than the Team USA team they put together last Olympics. Because if you look at the people, or even for the World Cup, because the World Cup was a little hard to gauge how good the teams would be, because a lot of the like really good players that would have knocked some of the other players off were on the Team North America squad. Which honestly, not gonna lie, maybe this might be a unpopular opinion. Team North America was the best thing about that tournament.
No kidding.
Yeah.
100%. So fun to watch.
But anyways, that's a whole nother rant. Because like USA would now get like Austin Matthews, Johnny Gaudreau, Jack Eichel. And like you'd start knocking people off. Like, get JVR, get the hell out of here.
Plus, they still got Patty Kane.
Right. Then you still have Patty Kane, and like your goaltenders would still be really good.
Gibson.
It'd probably be Gibson. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's American, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and he's an absolute stud.
Do you think Canadians still start Price?
Mm.
You guys, are talking about Gibson. You know who was a runner-up for the Vezina last year?
Oh, it might be Hellebuck. Yeah, they might start Hellebuck.
Nah, Gibby.
Oh, God. Get out of here.
I think the Ducks,
but Gibby is the best goaltender in the NHL.
I think they'd have to start Gibson just because he had experience on the team the Team North America squad.
Hold on, did we start the hot take section and I didn't know about it?
No.
That's just fact, buddy.
Yeah, Gibson is the only reason the Ducks are getting points right now.
Though they've lost 7 straight.
Yeah, no, that's true. Thank goodness.
Let me comment. I am so delighted that the Kings, the Ducks, and the Vegas Golden Knights all suck. It makes me so happy.
Yo, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, but on the flip side, the Canucks are doing really well.
Peterson is the next coming of, I don't even know, dude. Slatty?
Burre?
Jaeger? Somebody?
I was going to say Burre just because he played on the Canucks.
Maybe. He's so good. Oh, my gosh.
Did you see his 5-point night last night?
Holy, dude. It's just, like, there's a lot of comparisons from Canuck fans comparing him to McDavid right now, which I think is a little far.
No, get out of here.
Yeah, but he's definitely, like, he is making a name for himself, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Say that again?
Comparisons like McDavid, shut up.
Yeah, I don't know why people keep comparing things to McDavid.
Because he's the best.
Because they're stupid.
But boys, we got so off topic. We were talking about betting.
Oh.
Were we really?
Yeah.
Betting? Why were we talking about betting?
No, betting.
Well, what?
Sports betting. Sports betting.
Betting.
Betting. No. There should be no more conversation on how bad Matt Benning is.
What about Jim Benning?
Ooh, Jim Benning.
Better than Matt Benning. Probably at hockey, too.
Yeah. No, but betting.
Betting. Sorry, that's my fault.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
I mean, I think it's probably good for the sport. I don't think it'll hurt anything.
So, I was kind of, because, again, like I said, I didn't know anything, like, about how it worked, other than, like, the Vegas puts out the odds for the for who's going to win the Stanley Cup at the beginning of the year, or right, and like then, like last year was the Oilers have the best odds of winning the Stanley Cup, and
I think it was the Penguins and then the Oilers
or something like that, like the Oilers were really high, everyone was really hyped. I don't know, it's selective memory. But so there's actually different things, different kinds of betting other than just be like, this team's going to win this tonight. There's like, you can do are they going to score on a power play tonight? Yes or no? How many times do you think this person will have a goal tonight? And like, you can even do it on like how many minutes they'll play. Like you guess, like, do you think this player will play under or over this amount? And you can bet on it right there. So, like, it sounds like it's a lot more, like statistics, numbers, than just, like, random guessing.
So, I have two opinions. My first opinion is, I think anything that gets people watch hockey more is a good thing, especially in the States. But I also think when you start thinking about, like, how many minutes somebody's going to play, that gets sketchy for me. Because what if a coach does some sly betting and, you know, plays a certain player a certain amount because – he wants to win the bet. That makes me nervous.
I mean, there's already a lot of – there was somebody who suspended for a long time in the NHL for betting, like throwing a game once. I can't remember who it was, though. But it's not like this – like it's already a part of the sport, right? Or it's already a thing that could happen because there's already bets about games. The coach could throw a game. A player could throw a game. It's harder to do than just benching a guy for an entire period, I guess. But I don't know. Like these guys are professionals, too. They're getting paid millions already. There's not a ton of need to bet on a game.
That's true. But people still will bet to try to win, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It might happen still, but.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of longest yard.
And so what's your I think it's pretty neat. I don't really understand why it was I mean, I guess, like, I don't really understand why it was not legal or, like, allowed to begin with. Like, I don't see the problem with it. So I think it's just kind of a thing they're doing that's kind of neat. I don't know. I don't really have a take either way. It's just kind of neat.
It's pretty
it's
cool.
It's for the integrity of the league. It's because anything that you bet on that can be impacted by people can lead to things being fixed. You know, you go back to the olden days when there was betting on baseball. There was a huge scandal back in the like early part of last century. So I think there's a lot of fear there that, you know, the result of games would be called into question. But I would call results in the games into question now because there's a lot of people who believe that, like, you know, the NHL manipulates games to make sure teams like Las Vegas and Phoenix are successful, which I think is, you know, I don't believe in, but it is a prevailing thought. Like, a lot of people do believe that.
Yeah, that makes sense. You definitely wouldn't want someone throwing games. I know I wouldn't. I would get very angry very fast about it. But okay, so we're gonna jump to our hot take segment. But I've been doing some extensive talks with our creative department. And they suggested that maybe a new hot take isn't very it doesn't have much longevity to it. So we're gonna kind of alter the hot takes. I got the schedule for the Oilers and Jets for the upcoming week before Saturday or on Saturday. So before Sunday. So we're just kind of – the Jets only have one game this week. The Oilers have three. So we'll start with the Jets. The Jets are playing and they obviously have the week off because they're getting back from Europe. But the Jets play Colorado coming up.
So we're
Chris,
gonna like
you got some predictions for the game?
Like you want to do the scores or?
Yeah, let's get some scores, some takes on what you think's gonna happen. Make it slightly realistic, and we'll make it maybe
so,
like a tournament.
You know,
we'll make a tournament.
I think that the Avalanche always play the Jets really close, even when they struggled last year. I feel like the games were the styles that both teams play. So I'm going to say it's a fairly high scoring affair, but I believe that the Jets will win. I think it's going to be 5-4 Jets.
All right.
Okay, so Chris is saying 5-4 Jets win.
All right, I'm saying Jets, lazy after they haven't played for an entire week, coming in, get pumped, 4-0 Colorado.
Wow. Wow, Dalton is saying 4-0 Colorado. All right, so I'm going to think the Jets are going to be a little bit tired coming back. However, I think it's going to be a pretty close game, but I think that the offense for Colorado is a little bit rolling a little bit more right now with the Landeskog, Rantanen, McKinnon line, and I'm going to say 6-4 Colorado wins with the sixth goal being an empty netter.
Wonderful.
Sorry, Chris.
See the way it is.
He's going to say every Oilers game.
Yeah.
Not another team.
Okay, so then Oilers play tonight, actually, in less than a half hour. They play in Detroit, starting off a 4-game road trip. Mm-hmm. We'll start with Dalton.
I think I said this already earlier, 3-1.
3-1 win for Dalton. All right, 3-1 win. Chris, what do you think? Oilers wings.
I'm going to say 7-0 Detroit just because it's Dalton. Seriously, no, I know. I think the Oilers will win 2-1.
2-1 win. All right. 2-1 Oilers win. I'm going to say Mikko Koskinen is really cements himself as the answer for right now. Maybe not a high scoring affair. I'm going to say 3-0 back to back shutouts.
Ooh, look at that.
And it's going to throw the goaltending situation in disarray.
Goaltending controversy. You haven't had one of those in a long time.
No. All right. So then the Oilers play on Monday. They play in Washington. They've already beaten the Caps once this season, 4-1. I'll start this one. I think the Caps are going to come back and play way harder. And I actually think the Capitals are going to win this one because I don't know. I feel like when you play teams like that, they bounce back. Still going to be a close game. I'm going to say 3-2. Capitals win 3-2. All right. And we give them too many power plays.
Shocking. I'm going to say that it's a closely fought affair. I'm going to probably Talbot's probably going to be there that game. So I'm going to say the Oilers win it 4-3 in overtime. And the real question is it going to be Draisaitl for McDavid or McDavid from Draisaitl?
Oh, that is a good question.
I'm thinking dry from McDavid this time.
Dry from McDavid? They just keep alternating.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you think?
So I think as part of kind of the development cycle for the Oilers, it's going to be a learning game. I think that Washington's going to show their maturity, and I think they're going to come back and beat them pretty handily 5-2.
The Caps are going to win?
Yep.
5-2, Caps win. All right. Then at the game I will be at, back-to-back, so they go play the Caps. Monday night, they play the Lightning. Tuesday night, Dalton, how do you feel about it?
This one, it's going to be a little bit of a weakened Tampa team because I don't think Hedman's going to be back by then.
No, Hedman's still trying to figure out where he is.
Yeah, rough. Yeah, that's a rough one. I'm going to say this one's going to be – it's going to start out early for the Oilers, and they're going to play quite well, and then the – Lightning are going to battle back a bit, but I still think it's going to be a 4-1 victory for the Oilers with an empty netter.
Wow. Dalton's riding high right now.
What? I picked the Oilers for every game to win? No, you don't say.
All right, Chris, what do you think?
I'm still laughing about Dalton. So I just think, you know, like, Watching the Lightning, I just feel like they're just such a strong team, especially at home. I think it's going to be 2-0 for the Lightning.
2-0 Lightning win.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Okay, so I'm going to say the Oilers have a hard fought. They're going to lose in regulation to the Caps. I'm going to say they're going to come back, and everyone's going to be terrified of this game in the back-to-back playing the Capitals and then the Lightning. I'm going to say the Oilers actually come out and surprise everyone. And McDavid feasts yet again on the Lightning while I'm in attendance because he knows I'm there. He wants to impress me. I'm going to say it's a 5-3 win. And McDavid scores, I'll say, 2 goals this time.
Oh, no Hattie.
No Hattie. But I will say Puljujarvi, who I'm hoping plays, gets a goal.
All right. Pretty hot.
And then last game of the week, Oilers play, I think it's on Friday. They play the Florida Panthers in Miami. And the Panthers getting back from the same Europe trip with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Chris, what do you think?
I think the Oilers bounce back in that game and they win 4-2.
4-2 win over the Cats. Dalton, what do you think?
Panthers win 1-0. Roberto Luongo with the shutout, 42 saves.
Wow. 1-0. Panthers. All right. I'm going to say coming off of losing to the Caps and then coming back with a really strong win against Tampa, a really good bounce-back team win. I'm going to say they smack the Panthers. Chris Russell scores.
And all right, we're in fantasy land.
And they beat the Panthers. I'm going to say 3-1.
All right.
So basically what I was thinking about this is we're going to kind of have a bit of a game, an internal competition. So I'm going to say you get 1 point if the if you predict the win or the loss, right? If you predict the winner correctly, and then I'll say if we all get a win in it, we will take whoever has like the closest score. And then if something like Chris Russell scores against the Panthers, or what was one of the things you said?
Roberto Luongo, 42 save shutout.
Roberto Luongo gets a shutout. We'll get bonus points.
And like how many bonus points depending on how hot takey it is or something?
How
like
hot
that?
Of a take. Correct.
All right.
I think I've also our creative department told us to maybe keep it a bit shorter, and this one has not been that short, so we'll work on it. Real quick, Chris, I'd actually like to say you were talking about how well I can skate backwards. You will get to see. I'm coming down to Tampa again this coming weekend, and I was thinking bringing my gear and playing some pickup.
If you don't, you're dead to me.
So I will see you on the ice. I can show you all my defensive skills.
I am probably going to crush you, just so you know.
All right. Ooh, boys, cocky. Well, that does it for episode 4 of South Blue Blue Line. You can follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South, on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and basically Anchor, any other place you like to hear your podcasts. We are there. Go give us ratings, like us, subscribe on YouTube. And if you guys really, really, really want to get us over the edge, you can donate to us on Anchor at South of the Blue Line Podcast.
Support Chris's drinking problem.
Support Chris's drinking problem. Exactly. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, boys.
Yeah. Hopefully, the right, boys win tonight.
Yep. Hopefully. We'll see how our predictions go, and we will see all of you next time.
See you later.
Sweet.